right, y'all. Peace and blessings. God bless y'all. I'm Jarvis Kingston, and I hope y'all doing all right, staying strong and solid in these times that we're in. I pray that you have repented and that you are baptized. I pray that you are safe, protected, and prayed up. And I just hope that whatever situation that you're going through, that the Lord be with you, that he guides you, he protects you, he comforts you, he looks out for you, that you become more strong and wise in the Lord. I pray that your mental health gets better. I pray that your situation clears up. I hope that you stay on that narrow path for the Lord and keep fighting a good fight. Amen. And thank the Lord for waking us up for another day, people. Hallelujah. And thank the Lord for getting us through this night and putting us to bed. Hallelujah. Coming back home safely is a blessing. Amen. Shalom, 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 family. We here. Greetings, people. Welcome in. All right. So in today's message, I'm going to continue the book of Genesis reading and commentary. I just want to go through the word thoroughly and just describe everything from how things were historically back then to how things are now, how I could correlate and relate. So I just want to read some chapters on Genesis and then just go from there and close out. All right. So, you know, man, just another day, you know, and I just hope that you all improved in something in your life. I pray that you all got better at something. You know, I hope that you get close to the Lord day by day. You know, this walk with God, this journey, this relationship with him, it's a day and night thing. It's a 24/7 thing. There's no rest. And when it comes to spiritual warfare and you know, this fighting a good fight, man, you know, it's an all day, all night long thing. But the Lord does give us a sweet sleep. He does give us rest and green pastures. Amen. So as we're active and diligent for the Lord, let us also rest and rejuvenate for him as well daily. Amen. So I'm going to go through with this and go from there. All right. So here we go to continuing of the book of Genesis reading. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more clever than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, did God say, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of every fruit of the trees of the garden. We may eat of every tree of the fruit in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day that you eat it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So this is just a crazy scenario about how Eve is getting, you know, seduced and sidetracked in, and she's giving in and yielding into the serpent. You know, it's so crazy how people give into temptations and urges and pleasures of the flesh, you know, and disobeying God. And we see that today more than ever in these perilous times. We see that more than ever in the days of Noah. You know, people are just rebellious, just stubborn, just going against God's command, going against his word, going against what the Lord stands for. People are just really just wanting to do them, you know, people just pleasuring themselves to pleasing God. So you see this clear as day in this scripture right here. So I want to just keep reading it. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat it and give also to her husband with her. And he ate it as well. And the eyes of them both were open and they knew that they were naked. And they sawed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard of the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in thy garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded that thou shalt not eat it? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me the tree and gave me the fruit of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent led me to it, and I ate it. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat with all the days of thy life. So it's interesting, as you see this breakdown of Adam and Eve and the order of it, you see how Adam and Eve both disobeyed the Father, but you also see how how clever and sneaky and cunning it was, how the serpent was cunning about it, you know. And it's very just crazy, because the best way to make a man sin or do wrong is through a woman. You know what I mean? It's just crazy how things could get so manipulative and hectic and slick like that. But, you know, the serpent, the devil, Satan, the dragon, the enemy, the adversary, he has a cunning way of killing, destroying, and stealing. You know, he has a way of making humans do rebellious things towards the Lord. That's why the Bible, especially the New Testament, it calls us to be firm and steadfast and to be strong in the Lord, you know, because the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. You know, we have to worship God in truth and spirit. We have to stay in the Holy Spirit. We have to stay in God's presence. We cannot quench the spirit. We have to always obey the Lord's voice and his word, his command. We can't be swayed to the left and right. You know, we can't be gone in the wind. We got to be firm. And as you can see, Adam and Eve weren't firm. They weren't firm, you know. And this is just the beginning. It's just an example of how it all started, but it just shows you they weren't firm, you know. And they were just new to all of us. You get what I'm saying? So they just did what they did. You know what I mean? Us having all this information and everything we have now, we don't have excuses for our, you know, the way we do things, because we have more information and knowledge and right from wrong more than any generation ever. So our conscience is more alert. We're more aware of everything we do now. We're more about accountability and awareness more than ever. So that's why we got to be thorough with this walk with God. Amen. But you can see here how they all disobeyed the Most High. And the serpent just did his part, and how God cursed the serpent. All right, so I'm going to continue just reading this and just go from there. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow that shall bring forth children, and their desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of the wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow that thou shalt eat of the days of thy life. And sorrow thou shalt thou eat of all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, and for dust thou shalt come back to it. So you see how God, being the creator, he laid down the law and laid down the repercussions for their actions. You know, for every choice that you make, there's either a reward or a consequence. With Adam and Eve, they both got consequences for what they did. And you can see how that still impacts to this day, because historically, right, Adam and Eve disobeyed God, right? And then with the Israelites, they disobeyed God, lost their commandments, all 613 lost their commandments. And then not to this day, this generation is more rebellious and stubborn and stiff-necked more than ever. So generation after generation, you see different types of disobedience and disregard of the fear of the Lord. You see that generation after generation. So we're the generation that has to get it right and clean it up, because Christ said he's coming back for a church with no spot and no blemish. So we have to really tighten up out here. You feel me? And it's important to understand the history of Israel and to understand the history of how God created things and the origin of it and the creation of it. So we can have full understanding of why things are the way they are today. All right. You women wonder why it hurts so bad when y'all get pregnant. This is why. And brothers wonder why, dang, why things got to be so hard, why we got to work so hard. This is why. You see what I'm saying? So you always have an answer for your question. Amen. So let's continue reading. And let's see what we have here. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the rest of the east of the garden cherubims. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Interesting. Chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now this kicks in with the whole sibling thing, right? Now we have the Cain and Abel story. Let's see. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the offering. First, okay, remember, let me reread this. Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the first fruits of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respected unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect for it. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So as you can see, God honored what Abel brought to the table, but not Cain. Because with Cain, he gave from the ground. He basically gave God scraps. He gave God the worst of the worst. Abel gave the best of his offerings to God. Abel gave the best first fruits, the best portion of his part. He brought in the fat of the animals, everything. He brought it all to the table. So that's why God respected Abel's offering, but not Cain, because Cain was, you know, he was kind of just going through the motions, dogging it. Abel really gave his all. And God always respects his people who gives it all in their lives. Like when the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, all your might, all your strength. That's what this is a perfect example of it. Abel was able to give it all to the Lord. You see how God placed Cain and Abel both there to do their part. And you saw how Abel came out more with what he had, you know. And also another thing to put is that Cain had the whole ground to work and Abel just had a certain section, and Abel still gave more than Cain did. So God respects more when you make more out of your situation than the other. And that's kind of life in general. There's some people who give little out of much, and then there's much people who give much out of little. You see what I'm saying? God respects you when you give much out of little. And then when you fast forward to the New Testament, you see how Christ always made different parables about stuff like this. When he talks about the parables of the talents and how a master gave a servant, a worker, certain talents, and they brought back each. And then Christ was making the distinctions of putting in work for the kingdom of heaven and good works and fruit bearing. And then how one may bring in something, but the other doesn't. It all kind of correlates and is connected from the Old Testament, the New Testament, from the book of Genesis to the book of Matthew and Luke. And with Christ, when he spoke in parables and stories, it was always connected to the things that the prophets said before. And it was connected to the history and origins of Israel, period. So this was just an interesting thing. So let's continue reading. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slaughtered him and killed him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, where hast thou gone? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. So this is a crazy sequence, because obviously Cain kills Abel. jealousy, anger. I mean, those negative mixed emotions, man, it'll make people do the worst things, man. And violence is most people's way of solving things. And this is a clear example of it. And obviously today we see more violence more than ever over crazy, petty situations. Cain killed his own brother. And then he says, am I my brother's keeper? You know, what people don't understand with that phrase, right? That phrase, my brother's keeper, has been pushed through pop culture in so many weird different ways, more than one, whether through hip hop, through music, through television, through movies, right? And I'm going to get a little carnal, but you notice when you watch the movie New Jack City, right? Remember how with G-Money and Nino Brown, and they were like going at it, and then G-Money's like, am I my brother's keeper? That was a biblical reference to Cain and Abel, but in a weird, blasphemous way. You get what I'm saying? Because it's kind of like you mocking the Most High when you say, am I my brother's keeper? Because this is what Cain said after he killed his own brother. So you see those correlations and connections between how pop culture tends to mock biblical stories or things that happen on a spiritual sense and add it to a carnal sense in pop culture. But let's see what we have here. Let's keep going. And also it talked about when Abel died, his blood cried out to God. So when people die, blood can cry out. Like, blood is a powerful thing. Like, blood can go all the way up to the heavens. Like, God can smell it when someone like dies or someone of his own kind dies. Like, whether it's a prophet, a forefather, a good steward, a servant of the Lord, the Lord is very watchful. Remember, God watches all things. He watches all four corners. He watches the good and evil. He watches everybody. He watches the righteous and the wicked. He sees it all. So before we react a certain way, we got to be mindful of our actions and how much God is watching us. We have to be, reflect and ponder more about our decisions before we make them, you know, because the scripture said that his blood cried out to God. So that's crazy. So we're going to continue reading. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from my hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be on the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that find me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city and after the name of his son Enoch. So this is wild, right? You have a guy like Cain who killed his own brother, who the Lord put a mark on him. God put a hit on him. And God put this onus on Cain, and Cain goes away from the Lord. But yet he gets a wife. He finds a woman. He procreates and makes Enoch. And Enoch was the most righteous, like one of the most righteous men. Enoch was so righteous, he didn't even die. But yet Enoch came from a man who killed his own brother. So it just shows you how sometimes a good person or a person who's blessed may come from a messed up background or come from a messed up kind of crazy kind of lineage in a sense, or come from a crazy background, because Enoch came from Cain and Enoch's uncle got killed by his own daddy. But yet Enoch was so righteous, he got taken up to heaven. So it's just kind of crazy when you think of it. But let's continue reading. And until Enoch was born, Arad, and Arad begot Mahujael, and Mahujael begot Methusael, and Methusael begot Lamech. So this is talking about the lineages of everything. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. So this is how like lineages and tribes, well, really lineages and bloodlines continued. It all started from here, but also in ancient times, men always had multiple wives. Men always had more than one wife in that time period. Some would have just one, but a lot of other guys would always have more than one. Let's continue reading. And then Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such to dwell in tents and of such have a cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of such handle the harp and the organ. Okay, so let's continue. And Zillah, she also born Tubal-Cain. and instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naama. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, She had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now we go into chapter 5. All right, let's see what we have here. Okay, the book of Genesis, chapter 5. This is the book of generations of Adam in the day that God created man in the likeness of God that made him. So this is going to go into the lineage of Adam. This is going to go to the lineage of it. And this just shows the race that Christ comes from. Because Christ did refer of being the second Adam, the last Adam, and the second, saying he's the hope for humanity, people-wise. Excuse me. But when it comes to Christ, his race was Shem. So Shem is a race of people. People will say they're black or African-American, this and that, but really it's your Shemite. Christ was a Shemite. With Christ, his race was Shem. His tribe is Judah. His promise is Abraham. His kingship is David. His nationality is Jacob. And his promises of God. You see what I'm saying? So it's all that in one. And this is the whole lineage and bloodline of it in the book of Genesis chapter 5. So let's continue chapter 5. And also when you read the book of Matthew chapter 1, it goes back really to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, so that just shows you how it's a lineage thing. So let's go. Let me reread chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, he made them. He made him. Male and female created them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. In the day when they were created, and Adam lived 130 years, and begot his son in his own likeness, and after his image, he called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he begot Seth were 800 years old. And he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. So back then, people had much longer lifespans. Right? This is before the earth was polluted. And the earth was super corrupted as it is now. Right? So people back then lived longer. People popped kids at older ages as well. Okay. So let's see what we have here. All right. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years old, and then he died. And Canaan lived 7 years and begot Mahalil. And Canaan lived after he begot Mahalil 840 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalil lived 65 years and begot Jared. And Mahalil lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalil were 895 years and he died. And Jared lived 162 years old and begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. Okay, y'all, I just want to make correct a mistake. So there was two Enochs. I described one Enoch that was born and this other Enoch. Okay, so the Enoch that was from Cain was a different one. the Enoch from Jared is the one that was so righteous that he went to heaven while alive. So I want to correct that error, that mistake I made. I was kind of just kind of bouncing from word to word. So, okay, there were two Enochs. Okay, got it. All right, let's continue. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years and died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So that's powerful. All right, so the Enoch that was born from Cain, that's not the Enoch I was talking about. This Enoch from Jared is the one I'm talking about. That was so righteous that he walked with God. He didn't even die. So that's powerful. You know what I mean? Enoch and Elijah, they both were in heaven while alive. So that's pretty cool. They went to heaven while they're alive. Let's see what we have here. And Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 69 years and died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and our toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. So Noah came into earth with powerful purpose and calling. And it's so amazing, because when you read the Bible, there was three men specifically that God promised he would never destroy. It was Noah, Daniel, and Job. And that's just powerful when you think of it, of all the things they all three of them went through. Like, everybody in the Bible goes through something, but Noah, Daniel, and Job's stories are very unique and interesting. All the stories are unique, but it's just like those three, what they endured was just a reflection of God's power, God's strength over his people. Amen. So that's just very powerful. All right, so let's continue reading. And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot his sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years after, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, these are like the three power bloodlines right here from Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And when we keep going further, God said he's the God of Shem. So remember that. So that whole, that's why you are a Shemite. See? You are a Shemite. That's the race, Shem. So Christ was a Shemite. All right. So you have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So when you, some people do different research about it. Some say that Shem, of course, Shem is Israel. The Israelites, the Shemites, and how all the 12 tribes and all the lineage of Christ and everybody, you know, Jesse, David, Christ, all of them came from Shem. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them came from Shem. Ham and Japheth are like the other people, the other nations that are scattered too. Some people doing research says Ham is those in Africa, like the Hamites, right? And Japheth is like, some say the Europeans, some say Asians, you know, because when you read the Bible, the only continents that was mentioned in the Bible were based in Africa, Europe, and Asia. There was no America in the Bible. There was no North America, South America. There was none of that in the Bible. So that just shows you how everything started over there in that time period. So let's continue reading the book of Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, that they were beautiful, and they took them as wives, of which they all chose. Now you see, the book of Genesis chapter 6 verse 1, it says the sons of God. So it's talking about fallen angels. The thing, I did a message about angels and how there's nine different types of angels, right? But then like in this part, the book of Genesis chapter 6 verse 1, it talks about how the sons of God, so it's talking about the fallen, like fallen angels. That's what it's talking about. Fallen angels came down to earth and procreate with the women and created giants, you know, Nephilim, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of crazy, tricky stuff, man. Very crazy stuff, man. But it shows how just mind-blowing this whole spirit realm is, right, and the history of it. So let's keep going. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown, giants. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at heart. So God saw his creation play out, and God was bothered by it. You see what I'm saying? When he was seeing how things was playing out, it couldn't continue further. You get what I'm saying? So it's to a point where God even stopped the lifespan to 120. So instead of people living 700, 800, 900 years old, the Lord cut it down to 120 years old. So really, like, since God is a spirit and he didn't attend to be to walk with men like that because of the flesh, he cut it the lifespan to 120 years old. And then when the giants were being born on earth, they kept doing wicked, evil things, because if a fallen angel procreates with a woman on earth, you don't know what's going to come out of that. You get what I'm saying? Because that's not normal. That's not regular. So that's only going to create odd, weird, evil stuff. So that's how the world got more wicked, because it was just a bunch of giants just all over, walking all over the earth, doing crazy, weird stuff. So let's see what we have here. So let's continue. And the Lord said, I will destroy men whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts and creeping thing, and the fowls of the earth, of the air. For it repented him, for he regretted made it. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then these are the generations of Noah. So I'm going to just stop right here on this chapter 6, because I want to dig more deep into that part of the whole Noah's Ark and everything, because there's a lot to unravel about that part just alone. And it's so powerful that even Christ even made a reference to prophetic things to come and compared it to the days of Noah. And we're definitely in the days of Noah. So I'm going to just leave it at there and continue it from here on out. All right, so here we go. Yeah, so the next episode, we're going to dive into Genesis chapter 6 thoroughly and detailed, because there's a lot to really go in about that, all right? So I'm just happy and grateful that I was able to get through certain parts of Genesis and add a commentary to it, you know, because it's always important to read the word thoroughly and to understand it fully without leaning on your own understanding and accepting how things were in that time period, all right? So I'm just going to go through it from that now and then just, you know, wrap it up from there. Okay, so I hope that you all had a decent day. I hope that you all got stronger and wiser today. And I just pray that, like I said, your situation gets better. Okay, so what I'm going to do as I close out, what I love to do, is give all the glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and praise his only begotten Son who died for our sins. Amen. Hallelujah. He is the Adam, the Advocate, the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega. Amen. Amen, the apostle of our profession, the arm of the Lord, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith, the author of life, the author of salvation, the beginning and the end, the beginning of creation of God, the beloved Son, the blessed and only potent, the blessed and only ruler, the branch, the bread of God, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the capstone, the captain of salvation, the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd, Christ of God, the consolation of Israel, the cornerstone, the counselor, the creator, the dayspring, the deliverer, the desire of the nations, the door, the elect of God, Emmanuel, the eternal life, the everlasting Father, the faith and true witness, faithful and true, the faithful witness, the first and the last, the first begotten, the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn of all creation, the forerunner, the gate, the glory of the Lord, God, the good shepherd, the great high priest, the great shepherd, the head of the church, the heir of all things, the high priest, holy and true, the Holy One, the hope of glory, the horn of salvation, the I Am, the image of God, Jehovah, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the Judge of Israel, the Judge, King Eternal, the King of Israel. Hallelujah. He is the King of Kings. Amen. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King of Saints, King of the Ages, King of the Jews, the King, the Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish, the last Adam, the lawgiver, the leader and commander, the life, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the living one, the living stone, the Lord, our righteousness, the Lord, Yah, the Lord, our God, Yah, Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yahweh Shai, Yahweh, Yahweh, HaYashai, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Barakathah, Shalom, Shalom, Yeshua, Elohim, the Father of lights, the Father of all, the Father of the fatherless. Yes, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the man from heaven, the man of sorrows, the mediator of the new covenant, the mediator, the messenger of the covenant, the Messiah, the mighty God, the mighty one, the morning star, the Nazarene, the offspring of David, the only begotten Son of God, our great God, a Savior, our holiness, our spiritual husband, our Passover, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrificed Passover lamb. The power of God, the precious cornerstone, the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Prophet, the Redeemer, the resurrection of life, the revelation, the revelator, the righteous branch, the righteous one, the rock, the root of David, the rose of Sharon, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the Savior, the seed of woman, the shepherd and bishop of souls, the Shiloh, the Shiloh, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of the Blessed, the Son of the Most High God, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, the Son of Righteousness, the Just One, the One Mediator, the stone of builders rejected, the true bread, the true God, the true light, the true vine. Yes, he is the truth. Yes, he is the way. Hallelujah. He is the way, truth, and life, the wisdom of God, the witness, the wonderful counselor, the word of God, the word of Yah, the word of Yahuwah, the word of Elohim, the word of Yahweh Shai. Yes, the word of life. Yes, the word of the consuming Father. Yes, he is the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, yes, we touch and agree. We serve an awesome creator, and the Son is amazing for dying for our sins. Amen. Yes, in the authority and the power of the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed, renewed, restored, blessed, favored, loved, redeemed, forgiven. You will become a new creature in Christ. You will get baptized. You will be born again. You will have new beginnings. You will have a new mind, heart, and soul for the Lord. Everything you touch will prosper. You will be on that narrow path, but your feet will be light. The law of the light, the law of the lamp is your path, is your feet. Hallelujah. God will bless your footsteps. He will bless your path. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will guide you. Hallelujah. He will direct your steps. Always remember who he is. Hallelujah. He's the maker. He made all this. Nothing's too hard for him. He is able. He is worthy. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. So there you have it, y'all. All right. That's just a commentary of the book of Genesis. And that's that, y'all. Y'all just stay blessed and strong out here in these end times, all right? I pray to God that whoever listens to this, I pray that you get baptized, you start your life for the Most High. I pray that you repent and have new beginnings. I pray that you can help others around you. And I just hope that you keep being stronger and wiser for the Lord and that your situation gets better. I'm Jarvis Kingston. I got much love for y'all. God bless y'all. Peace.